We welcome you this morning to our morning worship service. We're very glad that you have tuned in to be with us, and we pray that your experience in your home or wherever you are today, as we look into the Word of God and lift our hearts to rejoice and to praise Him, it will be one of exalting the name of our Lord Jesus. That's the reason why we are called to minister and to serve and to be able to worship Him. And we're going to do so this morning by starting with hymn number 495, if you're using our hymnal, or if not, watching the words on the screen in front of you. A prayer, "Guide me, O thou great Jehovah, pilgrim through this barren land." Well, this is a prayer that we often sing and pray in our hearts because all of us need to know unmistakably the guidance of the Lord Jehovah in our life. And that is our hope and that's our prayer today. Let's seek the Lord now and come to ask for His blessing on the Word of God and our worship this morning. Our loving Father, and our gracious God, we bow once more in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. And we are thankful, Father, today for the promise of the help of the Holy Spirit in all of our Christian life. And certainly, Lord, we need that today in our worship. And I pray that we will know the help of the Spirit as we open our mouths and our hearts to sing, as we pray both here and also as every believer is praying in their home today or where they are. Lord, give us joy in our hearts, we pray. Help us to think of the great benefit and bounty we have in our Lord Jesus Christ. Father, we're thankful for Him today. We're thankful for all that He has done for us. How can we ever properly express, Father, our thanks for Calvary's work, for the suffering and death of our Savior, for the fact that He went down to the tomb, and yet He has gloriously risen from the grave and ascended and is at the right hand, your right hand today, ever living to pray for us, His people. And Lord, we're thankful today for all that we have received and the hope that we have for eternity, for it's well with our soul. We know our sins have been forgiven. And Father, we are seated in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. We have great hope and great joy this morning. And so, we pray that our time around the Scripture would be blessed as we read the Bible and as we look into it in some detail today again. Lord, come near and help, we pray. We know, Lord, that there are sick ones that need our prayer, and we hold them up to Thee today. We pray for Mrs. Atkins from the school this morning, that Your hand would be upon her and bless her family. We think of Dr. Nigel Campbell, and we pray for him this morning in the hour of his need, along with his family. Remember Gerald Ladds in Fredericton. We pray for our brother as he's in the hospital this morning. Father, come near and comfort him. We know there are many, many others. We think of the families that have been bereaved by the senseless killings that have taken place in Nova Scotia. Oh God, we ask of Thee to come very near to them and help them in this time of their great need. Help them to make sense out of things that seem so senseless. Oh God, come near and comfort, we pray, and let Your people be helpers and guides and comforters also in this time of need. Father, hear our prayers today. Open the Scripture to our hearts. Cause us to be filled with thanksgiving and praise. And Lord, do in us and through us, in these unusual times of being shut in and set aside, yet, Father, may the Church of Jesus Christ flourish. May we grow. May we have opportunities that are presented to us that we did not have before. And let us use them to the honor of our God and to the extension of Thy kingdom. Father, we present ourselves before Thee. And as we were thinking last Lord's Day morning and praying upon the promise that if we seek our God, Thou wilt be found of us. And Lord, as we come in the time and the hour of our trouble, as we present the needs of our own families and our congregations, Lord, come and abundantly answer. We're asking Thee, O God, to pour out Thy Spirit in a mighty way upon us, that we might know that reviving of soul and heart, and that we would be more vessels sanctified and meet for the Master's use, that we will glorify Thee, our God, day by day, moment by moment. Help us, Father, we pray, to follow Thee through thick and thin, to follow Thee in the good times, that's easy, but to follow, Lord, with all our hearts in the hard times. Give us that grace when we are weak and at the end of self, let us rest upon our eternal God, for we know that underneath us are Thine everlasting arms. Lord, bless us now today as we continue in our worship. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Number 484, I need Thee, precious Savior. Oh, Thou art all to me. Before the throne forever I stand, complete in Thee. Let's sing to the Lord's praise. Would you please turn in your Bibles with me this morning to Matthew's Gospel, chapter 4, Matthew chapter 4, and as you read along at home, I pray the Scripture would be a blessing to us today. Reading from verse 12, Matthew 4. Now when Jesus had heard that John was cast into prison, he departed into Galilee, and leaving Nazareth, he came and dwelt at Capernaum, which is upon the sea coast, in the borders of Zebulun and Naphtalim, that it might be fulfilled which was spoken by the prophet Isaiah, saying, "The land of Zebulun and the land of Naphtalim, by the way of the sea beyond Jordan, Galilee of the Gentiles, the people which sat in darkness saw great light. And to them which sat in the region of the shadow of death, light is sprung up." From that time, Jesus began to preach and to say, "Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand." And Jesus, walking by the Sea of Galilee, saw two brethren, Simon called Peter and Andrew his brother, casting a net into the sea, for they were fishers. And he saith unto them, "Follow me, and I will make you fishers of men." And they straightway left their nets and followed him. And going on from thence, he saw other two brethren, James the son of Zebedee, and John his brother, in a ship, with Zebedee their father, mending their nets. And he called them. And they immediately left the ship and their father, and followed him. May God bless his word to each of us this morning as we have read. I want to welcome you today to our online service. It's good to have you, and we're thankful for the many opportunities that God has given to us to be able to continue in fellowship, even if it is at a distance. And so we want to thank you very much for all of your prayers and for your support, for the emails and texts of encouragement as we continue to serve the Lord in this capacity. And our prayer certainly has been for you and for all of you during this time of your need. And we again say and don't apologize for repeating our thanks and our ongoing prayers for those who are involved in nursing, and our doctors, our frontline workers, that God would give them strength. We know that in our own fellowship, we have several who are working as nurses and in the hospital system, and our prayer is continually that God would watch over them and bless them and be encouraged as they continue to serve the Lord in this capacity. We want to remember today again the needs of the families in our sister province of Nova Scotia in the senseless killing that happened just recently. And there are many families that are grappling with this great problem and not making sense out of it, I'm sure, as to why such a thing would happen. And so our prayers are for the families and with those people, that God would comfort them, and that even in this time of their great sorrow and misunderstanding, confusion, that God would strengthen them and help them, and they would find the Savior at this time of their need. Let me give you a few updates of what's been happening in the past week, some things to encourage you. Yesterday, our ministers' wives across North America met for a special time of prayer, and this really is a good thing, and following on from our ministers that have been meeting in different sections across North America to continue in prayer. And so three of our missionaries were also able to join in with the ladies yesterday, and that was a great blessing. Last Tuesday, we again met in our section of ministers in our locality, along with a missionary in the Czech Republic, Brother Milos Scholz, who brought the word for us. And we're also thinking very much about connecting up with Brother Richard Craig in Jamaica. Do you remember all of these works as they continue to serve the Lord also in very limited capacity and restrained by all of these difficulties. Something to report for families that have children. Our church in Ulster, they have produced something called the FPC Kids, and that's an online teaching program with Sunday school stories and so on for the boys and girls. It's on Facebook, and I would encourage you, parents, if you would like to have something for the children to watch, you could turn up to FPC Kids, and you would find some encouraging things going on there. Would you please remember the sick that are connected or that we have connection with, both in our own church and by extension? We want to remember our Whitfield families at this time, and specifically a family, Mrs. Atkins. This is the first of our Whitfield families. Mrs. Atkins has been diagnosed with COVID-19. This is a very great concern for us and for our family and for the immediate family that she is with, that the Lord would help her in this time of her need. And we pray that God would comfort them and bless the family and, of course, touch them, that Mrs. Atkins would recover fully from this virus. And also, some of you may have heard of Dr. Nigel Campbell. He's a medical doctor, one of the elders in our Lisburn congregation overseas. And he also has come down with COVID-19 because he is a medical doctor working in the front line and on the front line. And now he has been set aside with this. So do pray for him and for his family that he would be able to recover from this. Also ask you to remember in prayer Brother Gerald Ladds from our Fredericton congregation. Gerald does not have COVID, but he has been taken into the hospital with some medical issues. And I would ask you to pray for him. Remember his wife, Tanya. As you could imagine, she is very, very concerned and afraid. And just pray that God would comfort them in this hour of their need. And Tanya can't even go to the hospital to see her husband, because, of course, all of those restrictions. So Gerald is there on his own. Just pray that God would help them. He was supposed to have surgery back in February, but because this whole thing broke, things have really been put on hold. And yet his situation is growing worse by the day. So I would ask that you would pray for him. Remember then all of the elderly in our congregation. I was able to speak last week with several folks from the church, and then one of them, Mrs. Campbell, and Mrs. Campbell is elderly, and I do pray it was good to have a conversation with her and just get an update on how she's doing. And she was very bright for the Lord and encouraging in her prayers. And so remember all of the dear ones. You know, initially when people are away from the fellowship and they're able to stay home on a Sunday, they might think, well, this is a nice way to relax. It's a nice way just to take it easy for a little bit. But I know that a lot of people are getting antsy and getting itchy and wanting to get back into the fellowship of God's people to see each other. And we look forward to the day when the Lord will open the door again for us. But in the meantime, we do our best and we continue to press on. And may the Lord give us encouragement in our own hearts. And I know that we want to thank you all again for your faithful tithes and offerings that you've been sending in for the work of God each and every week. Now we're going to sing another hymn. And please look at number 496. 496, and follow along these words as we praise God today. Thank you. Well, I hope you were singing your very best where you're in your place. And don't get too comfortable on your couch at home. We don't want any sleepers. It's difficult for the pastor, you know. When you were in the church, I could tell if someone was nodding off and could either clap my hands or do something, but I can't tell, so I'm at a disadvantage. I hope you don't get too comfortable where you are. We're turning this morning in our Bibles to Ephesians chapter 4. We have just four verses to read for us today before we come to the Word. Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 30. These words are so applicable to us as they were in the day when Paul, under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, spoke them and wrote them to the Ephesian Christians, and we take them to our heart today. It says, "And grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby we are sealed unto the day of redemption. Let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice, and be kind one to another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, even as God, for Christ's sake, hath forgiven you. Be ye therefore followers of God as dear children, and walk in love, as Christ also hath loved us, and hath given himself for us an offering and a sacrifice to God for a sweet-smelling savor." Would you bow, please, in prayer? Lord, settle us now, we pray, before the open Scripture. And I pray there would be a word in season, a word right to the heart, to every single believer. And Father, any who are listening in today who are yet not saved, I pray their heart would be brought to the foot of the cross to call out, "Lord, what must I do to be saved?" Hear this prayer, give me help in the ministry of the Word today, and may everyone have hearing ears and understanding hearts, for we ask in the Savior's precious name. Amen. I want to leave with you today the opening words of chapter 5 of the book of Ephesians. Be ye followers of God as dear children, and walk in love as Christ also hath loved us. It was back on April the 5th. We were 3 weeks into our lockdown due to C-19. I reminded you at that time of Israel. They were abiding in the place called Shittim. Well, there were some bad memories there connected with that place, because it was where the daughters of Moab came out, and they enticed the men of Israel, and they sinned by fornication and adultery. And it was a difficult time for them, and God's judgment struck them because of their disobedience. Well, they moved from Shittim, and they came now and camped at the edge of the River Jordan. That presented to them a rather formidable obstacle, because they had the Jordan River at that time overflowing all of its banks, and they were supposed to get across that river to go into the land of Canaan. That was the promised land that God had given to them. And the instruction that Joshua presented to Israel was this: you must keep your eye upon the ark of God carried by the priests as they stepped into that river and moved to the center of the Jordan River. And as, of course, when those feet of the priest touched the water, God did a great miracle, and he stopped the river from flowing. He backed it up way upstream, and all the river ran away, and the ground became dry, and the people of Israel were able to cross over. They had not been that way before. I linked it up at that time, a couple of weeks ago, with the fact that you and I, yes, we have not been this way before. Our generations haven't. Several generations have not seen this type of thing. And what are we to do? But we must keep our eyes upon Christ. We must keep our eyes upon our Lord and follow Him earnestly and honestly and fully. And of course, the lesson and the message was, spiritually, you and I who do not see the Lord with our natural eye, yet we are to follow Him by faith. And you know, the Jordan River and that expression has so much to teach us when we think about its typology or the examples. And so often we think about the Jordan River being the river of death, that we cross through it or over it and down through it when we come into glory. But there is really a greater illustration of this for us, for as a person that comes to faith in Jesus Christ, and we look upon the Lord Jesus, we receive Him as our own, and we cross through from death into life, from being unsaved in the days of our darkness, into the days of faith and salvation. And then we arrive on the other shore, and we begin our life journey through the land of Canaan with many enemies, many obstacles, and we must still and always and continually keep our eyes upon the Lord. We're called to walk by faith. We must look to the Lord Jesus, look to our God, as we are called to follow Him at all times. You know, the Lord has promised never to leave us alone, never to say, "Oh, I got you started on this journey. Now all you're going to do is find your own way and make your mistakes. And if you get to the other side," good. No, the Lord doesn't do that to us. He has mapped out the course. He has given to us the coordinates. He has shown us through His Word the way we are to go. And He has commanded us to follow God as dear children. My dear brother and sister today, may God turn our minds and our hearts again with fresh enthusiasm and zeal and a renewed spirit, that we will see that what God is doing, He is not doing it by mistake. And when we get to the point sometimes of wondering, can I continue on this journey? What am I to do? Where am I to go? Let us see once more that what the Lord is doing, He is working in and through us. Now, what Paul said to the Ephesians in the latter verses of chapter 4, why he says it to us again today, those are very practical points for us to see. And we then receive the clear command that God has given to us in the opening verse of chapter 5. Let us therefore follow God in our Christian lives. And perhaps we could ask this question, if we could put a little spin on the words and ask us, how is our fellowship with God? Are we in tune with Him? I want you to notice, first of all, a very specific command that the Lord has given to us. Be ye. It's a command, followers of God as dear children. Now, I know that more than a few of you have a basic familiarity with social media lingo, and you will know what following someone means. Yes, those who post their lives on Facebook or Instagram or Twitter or one of the other communication platforms, and it's sort of, I guess, like a bragging right. If people can say, well, I have so many followers, this thousand or that thousand, how many they have, and people think, well, I've arrived if you have a great number. Why are people followed on social media? Well, I suggest to you they are followed because others are interested in maybe their lifestyle. They might be interested in their career, perhaps in their political opinions. Maybe in their fashion, or in their cooking. Yeah, a lot of people take pictures of their evening meal and post it online, and they think everybody else is interested in what they're cooking or eating. I don't know, but that's the way it happens. Maybe some other people are interested in their sports, or maybe their religious belief. Of course, social media outlet is only one expression of this, of what people had been doing for years and years. For folks would follow movie stars, or they would follow a sports figure or some musician, and they would have to then turn to a magazine or newspaper or some other news outlet. They wanted to get what was of interest to them, but now it's instant, and you can follow all of the fancies and all of the trends of the latest things in just a moment. You know, for the Christian, following the world and its ever-changing styles and taste, it will not lead us closer to God. In fact, I suggest to you, it will lead us generally farther away from the Lord. It has a tendency to cool our spiritual appetite. The more we are just taking in the stuff of the world, and it affects the way we think, it affects the way we process things. So I just caution you, be careful of how much that you take in the following of the interests of people who are in the world. The Lord's told us, you know, love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. He gave us a very wide instruction to avoid things that would pull us away from Him rather than draw us closer to the Lord. I read just this past week the words of Psalm 94, verse 11, and I had to stop there, and it really made me sit up and take notice. It says, "The Lord knows the thoughts of man, that they are vanity." And I shook my head and looked at it again and read it again. "The Lord knows the thoughts of man, that they are vanity." And I thought to myself, that's so true. And the word came to my own heart. And I thought, how many of my thoughts does God look down upon and He think, that's completely empty, that's vain, that's pointless. There's no fruit in that. And it's not that it's even necessarily a sinful thought, but it might just be a thought that goes nowhere and to no value. Oh, friend, let us take heed. The Lord looks inside us. He knows what we are thinking. He knows where we are at any one time. And He knows that our thoughts are vain. So I ask you this question. What does it mean to follow God? We could start off by looking at it from the negative point of view and say it is the opposite of following men. Recently, I viewed a dramatized account of the Branch Davidian cult headed by a guy called David Koresh that operated back in the early 1990s. It was in Waco, Texas. Some of you will remember the news accounts of that, as I do myself, having lived through that. What was evident in that nest of perversion, of demonic activity, and of child abuse was the fact that people were taken by the persuasive power of this guy called Koresh and his so-called biblical insight into the book of Revelation. And they, quote, followed him. They didn't just follow him on social media. My, they followed him all right. They joined his commune. They gathered themselves into the place, this compound that they had, and they left their families. Some of the husbands that were there, they turned over their wives to the control of this guy. But mothers gave their young daughters over to the immoral fantasies of a pervert. The question comes, how could anyone do this? Well, the answer is that satanic power has been active in many forms throughout the world from the beginning of time, and the outcome is generally always the same. When a man is followed, that man may be the embodiment of evil, presented as good, of course, presented as light. But it's no surprise to the child of God, because Satan's ministers are presented as an angel of light. So when that happens, yes, the ungodly are duped, and they end up following a man instead of following the light and the truth and the Word of God and God Himself. Now you say to yourself, well, this is kind of an extreme case. And I say to you, okay, maybe it is extreme. But think about the fact that whenever other people are followed instead of the Lord, it shows elements of a fallen nature. And that's my point simply to you. Be careful. Be careful of stuff and things and people and ideologies that we can be drawn to and follow. And for the Christian, we are called to follow our God. What does this mean? What does it look like? Well, I would say to you in the first place here, it has the evidence of a changed life. That's what it is to begin with. A Christian is one that does not follow himself anymore or some other strange thinking or notion. But now a Christian, a changed life, is one that follows God. But it was not like this in our life. We know that because the very fact we've come to Christ shows that we are changed. For at one time we either served ourselves or someone else, and to some degree or another we did not follow God. In fact, we didn't have any desire to follow the Lord. You remember, believer, before you were saved, what it was like. If someone had said to you, hey, come on, let's go to church. You said, go to church? What's that? Oh, come on, let's come to the prayer meeting. Let's come and join people to pray. And you would think, what in the world would anybody want to do that for? That to me sounds so dull, so boring, so pointless. Oh, what a waste of time and energy. I don't want to spend my life doing something like that. To an unbeliever, a Christian life is one of just rules and regulations. Oh yeah, the Ten Commandments, you can't do this, you can't do that, don't do this. It was only an appeal to those who were ignorant and those who were brainwashed. That was the idea before we had come to know the light. See, when a man walks in darkness, he thinks that where he is in the light, until in the dark room where he is, someone turns on the lights, and all of a sudden, he sees now the furniture, he sees the walls, he sees the paintings, he sees the decorations. Everything becomes real and living. But now, he has the light. But before, he had no light. And friend, in the darkness of our unsaved days, we were walking blindly on to a lost eternity. We did not know the Lord. But now, the evidence today of following God is a changed life. And that life has been changed by sovereign grace. When a man sees his sin and how close we were to hell, it is then, my dear friend, that we realize the path of destruction that we were on. God grabbed us and He took us off that path. And He changed us. He washed us. He gave us new clothing. He put us on a new path. He gave within us a new heart. We have a new desire. There are new interests in us. And we have a new destination of home and heaven. Oh, friend, we now follow our God. And the most obvious evidence that we have been with Jesus is that our minds have been transformed. Our thinking has been changed. Let me ask you today, are you following the ark of God? Are you following the Lord Jesus Christ? Because it's not until you begin to follow Him that you get on the path. And it's by salvation, by regeneration. So the evidence of following God, it's a changed life by salvation. but it's also going to be seen in simple faith. For the apostle said by the Spirit of God, be followers of God as dear children. And that speaks to us of a simple childlike faith. Childlike faith is unquestioning. You know, it does not need to know how the whole family operates. A little child doesn't know anything about mortgages, doesn't know anything about the cost of electricity or water or taxes. And it's a good thing for kids as they get a bit older to learn some of those things. They realize that this is not all free. This takes a lot of work to pay for all this. But a young child has no concern of those things. It doesn't concern itself about where the food is coming from. It just knows that supper time is going to be there, breakfast time, lunch. And in childlike faith, they depend upon the supply of their parents, and they don't question. You know, you and I are to follow the same way, unquestioningly, our Heavenly Father's provision, His direction, His safety for us, and in simple faith we come to rest in Him. Now the word here says, as dear children, and the word dear means to a beloved child or a precious child. The sad story in the illustration God has given to us in the Old Testament of Israel in 2 Kings 17, the Lord said that He testified against Israel. He sent them prophets. He sent them teachers, but they rejected His statutes and His commands. And verse 14 of 2 Kings 17 says, notwithstanding, they would not hear. This is God's testimony, but they hardened their necks like the neck of their fathers, and they did not believe in the Lord God, and they caused their sons and their daughters to pass through the fire, and they used divination, demonic activity, and enchantments, and they sold themselves to do evil in the sight of the Lord to provoke Him to anger. They had no sense of the preciousness of their children. They did not call their children dear to them. In fact, they sacrificed their children on the altar of their, well, whatever type of religious thinking or their lifestyle demanded. Is anything different today, friend? Well, today, thousands of women may not be putting their sons and daughters through the fire, but it's equally as murderous as they put their children to the abortion mill. To them, the children are not dear, they're not precious, but they simply represent a problem that has to be eliminated. You know, one of the immense blessings of COVID-19 is the closure of thousands of these abortion murder mills. On April the 9th, just this past week, 2020, the International Planned Parenthood Federation, they reported that 5,633 abortion mills have been closed because of COVID. Hallelujah and praise to God. This is a blessing that has come out of this situation that we are in. Thousands of young lives have been spared. We can praise the Lord today that He did not discard us as unwanted tissue, but He saved us from our sins, and He has adopted us into His family, and we are His beloved children today. We can be assured that the Lord will never do us any bad. He will never do us any harm or any wrong, for He loves us too much. And He that spared not His own Son, but delivered Him up for us all, how shall He not also freely with Him give us all things? Ah, we are called to trust in the Lord and not be afraid. For the Lord Jehovah is our strength and our shield. We are called, believer, to follow our God as dear children. And this following of the Lord, well, it will be with a desire to holiness, a desire to obey Him, a desire to honor Him. You know, the path of the Lord is not evil. Sometimes we're so skewed in our thinking, we think sometimes that the path of the Lord is bad for us. Uh-oh, another twist or turn. But believer, let us always know and understand that the Lord has us in His hands as His dear children. And He will never do us any harm. And what appears to be difficult or a harm to us, it is only the Lord's way of leading us along on this earthly journey to a heavenly home. And all that He is doing through us, He is doing ultimately to glorify Him, and that we also will be a partaker in His glory. You know, in our desire for holiness, there are many failures. I don't need to point that out to you. We have grieved the Spirit of the Lord in our hearts many times. But though our sins be many and our failures be great, still the Lord is faithful and He is gracious, even in the times of our stupidity, even in the times of our rebellion. I'm thankful today that the Lord is not quick to mark my iniquities. Let us also be very gracious and long-suffering as the Lord is with us, toward others, to be kind, tender-hearted, wanting to do justly, to love mercy, and to walk humbly with our God. Would you please notice in the second place today the way that we are to follow the Lord? Yes, we're commanded to follow Him, but it's important for us to know, and the Lord doesn't leave us in ignorance, what is the way? How are we to do this? Well, He tells us in verse 2 of chapter 5, we are to walk in love. To walk in love. But this is not just a New Testament teaching or thinking. No, in no way. This is the sum and substance of the whole Bible. For we find this theme is traced through the law and the prophets and the Psalms. In the law, for example, in the book of Leviticus, in chapter 19, it says this, "Thou shalt not avenge nor grudge any against the children of thy people, but thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. I am the Lord." And a few verses down in chapter 19, "But the stranger that dwelleth with you shall be unto you as one born among you, and thou shalt love him as thyself. For ye were strangers in the land of Egypt. I am the Lord your God." I want you to note that these are the only two occurrences of the word love in the book of Leviticus. Now, it deals with love toward others in both of these cases. Now, we know that Leviticus is a rather difficult book to read sometimes, and it's a book that is full of regulations and details about how the sacrifices were, how the feasts were to be conducted, how people were to see themselves through it. But isn't it fascinating that the two accounts of the word love in the book of Leviticus, both of them have to do with loving your neighbor as yourself? Because it is, my dear friend, the outgrowth of a love that we have for God, of the love that God has shown toward us. And He's saying to us, we are to love others. It is the culmination, the fulfillment of all of the law and the prophets. In the book of Deuteronomy, the first occurrence of this word love, in chapter 5, verse 10, it says, "And showing mercy unto thousands of them that love me and keep my commandments." And then the last reference in Deuteronomy, in chapter 30, verse 20, it says, "That thou mayest love the Lord thy God, thou mayest obey His voice, thou mayest cleave unto Him, for He is thy life and the length of thy days." The Lord is telling us we are to love Him with all of our hearts, our souls, our minds, and our strength? And is this not what the Lord Jesus responded when he was asked, what is the first and great commandment? And he responded, the first and great commandment is to love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, soul, mind, and strength, and thy neighbor as thyself. And so, my dear friends, in following God as dear children, he has told us that we are to walk in love. And this is conveyed to us in the law, in the prophets, in the Psalms. Psalm 5, verse 11, let them also that love thy name be joyful in thee. Psalm 40, let all those that seek thee rejoice. Let them ever shout for joy. Let such as love thy salvation say continually, the Lord be magnified. And over again in the book of Psalms. And Jeremiah 31, verse 3, the Lord hath appeared of old unto me, saying, yea, I have loved thee with an everlasting love. Yes, believer, God has shown us by his own example, and he has shown us by the very greatest example that he could have of a love for this world, a love for you and me. And therefore, when he commands us to walk in love, he has given us the example of giving his only begotten Son. Oh, yes. It's all summed up in this, in verse 2. Because we are to walk in love as Christ hath loved us. The sum of what we have received from God. This is our mode of operation. Or is it? It should be. And we're commanded to have this. But too often, believer, we have to say, Lord, forgive me for having more of a spirit of envy, a spirit of jealousy, a spirit of bitterness, than truly a spirit of love. I need to have this in my own heart. I need to have a self-abasing spirit, a self-forgetting spirit, the spirit that the Lord Jesus had. Because in all of this, as we sum up what it means to the Bible's definition of this, of following the Lord in love, and we see it exampled in the life of our Savior, we see that he is Lord of all, the submission in love that we are to have. And, oh, my dear friends, it is going to be seen by our love to others. You know, it's the greatest testimony that Jesus said that you are a follower of Christ, a believer, if you have a love for other and fellow Christians in your heart. This is not an easy one. It's not an easy one, believer, because there are times when you will sense and say, other Christians have done me wrong. Other people have hurt me. They have cut me very deep. How can I love that person? Well, and you find that hard, as at times in my life I have found it hard, I'm sure you have. You bring that matter to the Lord, and you say, Lord, I'm having struggles here. What can I do? You bring it to God and say, Lord, let me consider again the great cost of my salvation, of everything that I have received freely. And therefore, let me also love, O God, as you have loved me. You know, this spirit, it will determine how we deal with our problems and our concerns, because when the pressure is on, that will be the test of our character and our spirit. Are we walking with the Lord? Are we obeying his command to follow him? How are we doing today? Let me close with this point. The reason we are on this path. The reason we are on this path, we're told in verse 2, Christ hath given himself an offering and a sacrifice to God for a sweet-smelling savor. It was after the flood that Noah, he sacrificed to God, and we are told that God smelled that sacrifice that was burning. And there was a sweetness in that God smelled. It says in Genesis 8:21, "And the Lord smelled a sweet savor, and the Lord said in his heart, I will not again curse the ground anymore for man's sake, for the imagination of man's heart is evil from his youth. Neither will I again smite any more every living thing as I have done." What does this mean? God does not have physical senses as we do. It showed us and it was telling us that as God was viewing Noah on the ground of propitiation or of atonement being made for sin. It was on the ground of the sacrifice, of the shedding of the blood. And my dear friends, it's on that same ground that God views us through Christ. And when he smelled the sweet savor of our Lord Jesus Christ, this is exactly the point that Paul is making as he draws this connection from Genesis 8 and he brings it up here that as Christ has given himself for us a sweet smelling savor unto his heavenly Father, and in that sacrifice, you and I have received forgiveness. We have received life. We have received a home in heaven. And therefore, that sacrifice that Jesus made that was willing, that sacrifice that made atonement for our sin, and that which he willingly offered for our sin, that we would be delivered from the curse and set free. Friends, we are called in our Christian walk to give ourselves willingly for the service of our Master. And though our sacrifice is not to take away sin, we could never do that, but we are called to present our bodies a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto God, which is our reasonable service. So I ask myself today, as I hope you will ask yourself, are you a sweet-smelling savor unto God? Is our life emitting that fragrance to God? Does it reflect the beauty and the fragrance of our Lord Jesus Christ? Yes, we've seen today a very specific command that God's given to us to follow Him. And the evidence will be a changed life, a life of faith, a life that desires holiness. And the way we are to follow is that we love the Lord our God with our hearts, and we are to have that love for others because it's summed up in all of the Bible. It's the sum of everything that has been shown to us. And the greatest testimony that we belong to God is that we will love our brothers. And the reason we are on this path is because of the sweet-smelling savor of Calvary. Calvary's love. Friend, today we ask ourselves, are we following God from our hearts? Are we in fellowship with the Lord? We would do well to pray. And as we will sing, Lord, lead us by thine omniscient eye. We're going to close our service by singing that hymn. It's number 549. If you're following there, the words are on your screen. Let's sing it prayerfully to the Lord today. Lead us, O Lord, by thine omniscient eye. Please join me in our closing prayer. Lord, we humbly ask that the Spirit of God will apply this truth to each heart. Oh yes, Lord, we may make applications through a message, but we know it's only the Spirit that can truly and really apply Thy holy word to our hearts. Give us hearing ears and understanding hearts today, we pray. Bless every believer. I pray for any listening this morning that are not saved. Father, please speak to their hearts and draw them to the Lord Jesus in repentance and faith. Separate us now in Thy fear with Thy rich blessing, and bring us back again, Lord, to hear Thy holy word later today. We ask for Jesus' sake. Amen.